Good morning. Buenos días. Titan Yamni. The fourth meeting of the 10th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues is called to order. Before we begin our discussion, we will commemorate today, the 26th of May, is the National Sorry Day in Australia. So I hand the floor to Ms. Josie Goy to conduct a short commemoration.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We begin by paying our respects to the traditional custodians, the Haudenosaunee, whose land we meet today. We extend our respect to their elders and ancestors, and to the elders and ancestors of all the world's Indigenous peoples, whom have fought to protect their lands and maintain their cultural integrity, laws, and languages since forced colonisation. The forced removal of Indigenous people has been an unfortunate story worldwide, such as the boarding schools in America and the residential schools in Canada, causing intergenerational trauma for many Indigenous peoples. For the Indigenous peoples of Australia, today is a day of deep reflection as we remember the dark and sorry history of colonisation and, in particular, the laws and policies that enabled the forced removal of generations of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children from their families and communities over a period of 150 years. These people are known as the Stolen Generations. These policies caused deep sorrow, trauma and irreversible emotional, mental, cultural and spiritual damage to thousands of Australians' Indigenous peoples. The 26th of May each year is our National Sorry Day. On this day we remember the members of the Stolen Generations and their families. We are reminded of the necessary support, encouragement and healing that is required to restore our people to wellness and the loving care of our communities who understand their grief at the loss of family and culture. Culture and identity are central to Indigenous peoples' well-being, and the impact of forced removal has caused deep emotional scars for all affected by those policies. The movement to seek an apology from the Australian government by members of the Stolen Generations culminated in the 2008 national apology by the Australian government under our then Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd. This government had the courage and the integrity to say sorry so that the healing could begin. For this, we thank and commend the Australian government and remember the outpouring of relief, grief and quiet acceptance of our peoples on the day the nation stopped to hear this historic moment echo over the lawns of Parliament House across the country and around the world. This was the first step. Since then, the government has established and funded the Healing Foundation, in consultation with members of the Stolen Generations. Other services such as LinkUp have been set up and supported by governments in each state and territory to support healing and recovery. These programs are essential to righting this very deep wrong. The outstanding issue of compensation is still high on the national agenda. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples continue to call on the Australian government to negotiate appropriate reparations commensurate to the impact caused, including the loss of connection to their lands, territories, families, communities, and culture. In our culture, one always has to say sorry for wounding another and then provide recompense. This is a simple act of respect. The government had said sorry and are attempting to assist us in our healing through the Healing Foundation. We now hope that they will act on the further requirements for our healing through the development of a national compensation scheme. On this day, we honour those who have lost all hope and opportunity to bond with their mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, families, community, culture, country, their customs and their law. We hope that governments and civil society commit to upholding Article 8 of the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, so such laws or policies will never again inflict such an unnecessary level of sorrow. We ask that the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, together with the Australian Indigenous Delegation, honour those that were stolen and those that were affected by removal policies with 1 minute's silence. Thank you, Madam Chair. Be all upstanding, please.
I'll time it.
Thank you. At this meeting, we shall take up item 9. Draft agenda for the 11th session of the Permanent Forum. In this regard, the forum has before it an informal paper containing a draft decision on the provisional agenda for the 11th session of the forum. The forum has It's recommending on this draft agenda paper that the informal expert group meeting would be on the theme Combating Violence Against Indigenous Women, Article 22 of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. I would ask Helen Calgiulate to comment on this point.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm very happy to hear and participate in the decision of the forum to organize an expert group meeting next year on combating violence against indigenous women. I think women and children are an issue that runs across every point of our agenda, in every our topic, because every discussion that they have has an impact on women and should take into account the views of women and girls. Indigenous women have also presented one of the most active groups engaging in issues as various as health, environment, political and economic empowerment in our discussions. And none of our goals, including development, cannot be achieved without the inclusion and empowerment of half of the population, that is women. And the forum has made a number of recommendations in the past concerning women, including combating violence against women, which is also a necessary condition for guaranteeing the rights and development of the indigenous peoples. So I think we need to address comprehensively the factors behind the violence against women and girls, as well as ways to combat it. So I think the working group will have a chance to discuss it in detail that we haven't so far. Our recommendations have been taken up by several UN agencies who have reported back on their work in their reports, for example, UNFPA, UNICEF, UN Women, IFAD. So I think there is a lot that is being done and we can take up and discuss in our next year's discussion. Last year, the forum also gave its strong support to the creation of a strong composite gender entity that became a reality and started work this year. So the forum is very happy to welcome the establishment of UN Women and give its full support to its consolidation and the start of its work. And also, I think one point that the forum has and the many participants of this forum have made is our interest in working with UN Women to include the perspective of indigenous women in UN Women's work, including its strategic plan for 2011 and through 2013, particularly also in the areas of combating violence against women, including women in political and in economic development. So, and we also hope that UN Women will engage indigenous women and girls in its work as it has done so far. Also, the forum has in the past addressed the issue of women, peace and security and made several recommendations in this regard. And considering the increased activity by member states and UN systems, and the UN system, we also hope that that they will include the perspective of indigenous women in their work and also attention to the protection of indigenous women in armed conflict. So we are looking forward very much to next year's discussion, to all the input from indigenous peoples, from the UN system and member states that would facilitate our discussion and some pointers, information on best practices, to make our discussion more useful, more helpful for member states, for indigenous peoples and the UN system itself. Thank you.
I thank Ms. Helen Kaljulate for her comments on the International Expert Group Meeting theme. Now we will look at the provisional agenda for the 11th session of the Permanent Forum. We have the election of officers, the adoption of the agenda, and the discussion on the special theme for the year that was approved previously is the doctrine of discovery, its enduring impact on indigenous peoples and the right to redress for past conquest. Articles 28 and 37 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Then we have the human rights discussion, implementation on the United Nations Declarations on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, the dialogue with the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and the Chairperson of the Expert Mechanism on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Then we have the comprehensive dialogue with United Nations agencies and funds. Number six, a half-day discussion on the right to food and food sovereignty. Seven, a half-day discussion on the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples. Number eight, half-day discussion on Central and Eastern Europe, Russian Federation, Central Asia, and Transcaucasia. Nine, future work of the Permanent Forum, including issues of the Economic and Social Council and emerging issues. Number 10, the draft agenda for the 12th session of the Permanent Forum. And number 11, the adoption of the report on the Permanent Forum on its 11th session. To comment on this provisional agenda, I give the floor to Alvaro Pop, member of the Permanent Forum.
Muchísimas gracias.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, representatives, I am pleased at the work that we've done, the dialogue, the intentions to comply with the rights of Indigenous peoples expressed here at this forum. It's obvious, as we have said before, that the challenges and obstacles still persist, but we have seen that we can work together to find the best way to overcome them. For the next expert meeting, we will have a special theme for the year, the doctrine of discovery. And we will look at the past and its impact, but we will be analysing national constructs reflected in social and political pacts which constitute national constitutions. Our considerations of history will be very important regarding the evolution of our national constitutions in our time. National societies have shown their need to have political and social covenants to articulate their societies. The recognition of history and goals for the near and far future, that is to say, to be able to build a community. The question that we would like to answer is based on that capacity that we have all had in our countries and in our state, which is to construct a nation. That is part of our revision, and our aim will be to consider the doctrine of discovery and the capacity that we have had to recognize the rights of Indigenous peoples in those constitutions. That there are changes, democracies evolve, political systems evolve, Indigenous peoples' rights evolve, and that will help us establish guidelines to make the declaration into a specific element of for our communities to progress. I know that the next meeting will have challenges, but because of the evolution of constitutions, I'm sure we will see a good reflection of that in the outcome of the meeting. Thank you. Thank you for your comment.
Megan Davis to comment on the provisional agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I just wanted to reiterate what Alvaro, my colleague, was saying, and as You all know we now have a significantly new composition on the forum, and each of the members have a very long history of involvement in the work of advancing Indigenous human rights in a broad range of issues at a domestic and international level. And at our recent pre-sessional meeting, we discussed the theme for the forthcoming session, which is the doctrine of discovery and its enduring impact on Indigenous peoples and the right to redress for past conquests. And in regard to this proposed theme, we the members firmly agreed that we intend to be forward-looking by emphasising and redefining the future of Indigenous and state relations and redress. And such initiatives are consistent with the right of self-determination and couched in terms of increased Indigenous political participation in relation to constitutional, legislative and domestic policy change and reconciliation and all other methods to redefine Indigenous state relations. So we felt that it is an equally important lens through which to understand the doctrine of discovery and our collective effort to develop a vision of the future for the implementation of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and our respective attempts to promote international peace and security for Indigenous peoples. So I would like to reiterate what Alvaro has said, and that we are very keen on looking forward with the theme next year, and hope that people are able to come, and states and Indigenous peoples are able to come with concrete examples and suggestions for the ways in which we can move forward together. Thank you.
I thank Ms. Megan Davis for her comments. I now open the floor to the participants inscribed on the speakers to make their speakers list to make their statements on agenda item 9. I give the floor to Mr. Camilo Ruiz from the Government of Colombia.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, but there's been a mistake. My delegation is ready to make a statement, but not on item 9, but on item 8. Madam Chair, I would, by your leave, like to go back to item 8 when you deem it appropriate, and then we would make our statement. I'm very sorry for the confusion. Thank you.
The floor to Vital Bambanse, who is member of the Expert Mechanisms on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples from Africa Indigenous Peoples Caucus. So I give the floor to Tomás Alarcón for a joint statement.
Buenos días.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Madam Chair, first of all, please allow me to acknowledge the wonderful work done by the members of the Permanent Forum. Over the last 2 weeks, they have managed to build a draft agenda on questions brought by Indigenous peoples. I think that the sensitivity of each of the experts has been able to capture the pain and difficult experiences of Indigenous peoples all over the world. We agree with this agenda. We have seen that it is a reflection of very constructive work, pioneering work, which is opening up the way to new best practices at the United Nations. We acknowledge that, Madam Chair, because we believe that the mission is a very difficult one in current circumstances, while the world searches for a new paradigm for peaceful coexistence. The declaration is evolving itself and is making international law evolve too, and that is no mean feat. We talk of the Pachakuti, that is the cure of the earth, and that is what we are currently experiencing. With this draft agenda, I believe that the forum under your chair is doing its work, and the Pachakuti is truly sacred to us, Madam Chair. We would just like to make a general statement about the agenda. This agenda, we believe, will enable the Permanent Forum to generate results without disputes regarding or overlaps with other UN bodies. We shouldn't allow ECOSOC to make any observations or comments on your excellent work. We Indigenous peoples will defend this agenda, and when the report is submitted to ECOSOC, those of us who have ECOSOC status will be there to convey to the members of ECOSOC that what we do here at the Permanent Forum is to move towards the fulfillment of the aspirations of Indigenous peoples to have their rights recognized. We are very concerned that ECOSOC made comments saying that the Permanent Forum was overstepping its limits with regards to treaty supervision, and perhaps they could say that we shouldn't step on the toes of treaty bodies such as the Committee for the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination or, for example, CEDAW. I will now conclude, Madam Chair, by saying that we've been asked to provide specific examples. Well, we have a ruling from the Human Rights Committee and an urgent action from the Committee Against Racial Discrimination, which are not being implemented by those bodies. And that's where the Permanent Forum has to step in to recommend how those bodies should be monitoring their decisions on Indigenous peoples. And that does not mean that we are invading their competences. We will provide you with our documents through the Secretariat so that the agenda item that deals with the Special Rapporteur, that the treaty bodies can be invited to so that we can interact directly with them so that our best practices can be seen to be as pioneering as we believe them to be. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your comments.
I give the floor to Victoria Tauli Corpus from the Asia Indigenous Peoples Caucus.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The Asia Indigenous Peoples Caucus, I'm speaking on behalf of the Asia Indigenous Peoples Caucus, who have discussed extensively what we think is an agenda item, the agenda that should be taken up more comprehensively by the Permanent Forum on its 11th session. So the Asia Caucus has thinks that we should be able to contribute significantly to the forthcoming processes within this coming months and year, and the most significant process that we think is crucial for us as indigenous peoples is the Rio Plus 20 conference and the preparatory work for the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples. In this context, we would like to reiterate what we proposed in our statement under the agenda item on future work. We propose that the expert workshop for 2011 will be on Indigenous peoples and sustainable development. This will allow Indigenous peoples all over the world to present their visions and their experiences and implementing their own development with culture and identity. We need to present actual ways in which we are operationalizing sustainable development in our communities and countries. It is without any doubt that sustainable development has not been implemented as it should be, and we need to identify what are the factors for this failure. The multiple crises the world faces in the economic, environment, and cultural spheres are enough evidences to prove that this has failed. In spite of this, however, we, the indigenous peoples, have been doing our best to protect and sustainably manage our ecosystems and territories, and this is the reason why we are able to implement our own sustainable development. We face severe constraints because many policies and programs of states and even multilateral bodies are not supportive of our traditional livelihoods and our traditional natural resource management systems, as well as our traditional economies. Thus, we would like the Permanent Forum to help us in our struggles to get governments to respect and implement the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which is the framework for achieving sustainable development in our communities. So, in conclusion, the Asia Caucus strongly urges the Permanent Forum members to organize an expert workshop on indigenous peoples and sustainable development, which can gather the recommendations of indigenous peoples, which will be presented at the Rio Plus 10 conference and related processes. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
I thank you for your comment. I give the floor to Saul Vicente Vasquez, member of the Permanent Forum.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I would like to express appreciation to the members of states for their participation and their cooperation here with us over the past days when we've been able to exchange our views in constructive dialogue. In the search for the best mechanisms to implement our declaration at every level, with the participation of the various United Nations agencies as well. They have also shown their interest in helping us to move forward. Now, as you can see, we have a proposal for the draft agenda for the next session. I would like to stress the item which is proposed for a half day of discussion on the right to food security. And I would like to stress that during the statements that we have heard here for the past 2 weeks, particularly the first week, I would like to draw attention to the comments. No human right can truly be applied unless people, human beings, truly have the necessary conditions of life. And this relates to food, and the food for our peoples. In the last report of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, it shows that there are more than 1 billion people who are hungry. And in particular, indigenous children and women are affected by this situation. However, together with the studies that we have carried out, we view with concern the fact that the human right to food is not a subject which is sufficiently dealt with in the various legislation of the various country in their laws. And we see this from different perspectives, so that the right to food will be recognized in constitutions as a human right. Therefore, being considered as a right, the question in the fundamental organ of the United Nations that deals with food for the entire world, it should be considered in respect of what certain countries are doing, and many movements and organizations, both civil and social organizations relating to human rights, are doing in the world to guarantee the exercise of food sovereignty as a requirement for food security. This is a question which is therefore vital given the circumstances in the different crises which exist in our regions, particularly the climate change crisis in our regions. There, the indigenous peoples, we are most vulnerable. Similarly, it has been said in various comments that the indigenous peoples, that we not only have the knowledge needed to adapt to the changes that have occurred with respect to climate, but also we have the traditional knowledge to ensure food for everyone. And our types of food have not been sufficiently recognized. So this week we have heard the proposal to consider next year that it be the International Year of Quinoa, a traditional food for our indigenous people, which has brought the world, has been brought to the world, like corn, like potatoes, which we have brought to the world. We have sufficient guarantees to ensure food for the world and to put an end to this situation, which is depriving more than 1 billion people of necessary food. So we welcome the fact that at the next session we will deal with this question of the right to food and food sovereignty of our peoples. Thank you.
Muchas gracias por sus comentarios.
Thank you very much for your comments.
To lobby Red Hawk from the Indigenous Women Diaspora Caucus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the caucus, of the forum, excuse me, and participants. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Lobi Redhawk. I am an indigenous woman of Tuscaroran, Cherokee, Chata, Scots English, and African descent. I make that point because it's relative to the Indigenous Women Diaspora Caucus point of view. As such, people of the diaspora have been ignored and our identification not accepted. With that said, I'd like to present the overarching agenda that we'd like to present in the next forum, which is to protect the indigenous women, offspring, youth, and family regarding the human right to activate, advocate, initiate, and implement sovereign law that honors our full participation, that facilitates the right to adequate, accessible, available transportation, health and dental facilities, and indigenous learning centers. You have to excuse me, I don't have this in a hard copy. That facilitates the human right to engage indigenous religious and spiritual beliefs. Protective measures that honors indigenous law and its activation and implementation for full participation in free, prior, and informed consent. Nationality displacement is an issue for indigenous women of the diaspora because the North American Caucus and the African Caucus does not and cannot represent our specific issues and concerns as indigenous sovereign women. Our voices must have agency in the application and implementation of our specific interests, being physical safety from sexual assault, rape, and sexual harassment, domestic violence and violence against women, economic equity, the right to clean, safe, potable water, the human right to adequate, sustainable waste management and sanitation, and the uninterrupted full use of sovereign land and natural resources. I thank you, Madam Chair, for this opportunity to speak on behalf of the caucus.
Thank you for your statement. I give the floor now to Kenneth Dare from the Indigenous World Association.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you for allowing me to take the floor. I have no direct comment to make about the agenda for next year. I think the agenda looks fine the way it is. However, I would like to comment on the on perhaps the order of work, side events, and our meeting room. The lack of space, which prevented Indigenous peoples from attending the permit forum this year and left them standing in the hallways, was unacceptable for our people. People spent a lot of money and a lot of time and energy to be here, and not to be allowed into the room was quite frustrating and may have a negative impact on future participation of the working group. So I have a couple of recommendations to make. We understand that there are limits to space because of the renovation of the United Nations headquarters building, but we cannot have 500 or more registered participants with no place to go. We strongly recommend that an overflow room be available for these people and that the permanent forum insist from conference services that this space be made available at next year's and all future conferences. We also like to make another suggestion to allow side events during session time. At this and previous permanent forums, side events are only allowed during the lunch period between 1 and 3 p.m. because the permanent forum wanted participants in the room and not being distracted or taken away from the session. However, if participants can't get into the room, then this sort of seems redundant. Side events then should be allowed in the morning and afternoon sessions. That would give participants some constructive activities to get involved in. These side events could be chosen in a manner not to conflict with the substantive discussion of that particular session. For instance, it could be side events on documentaries, training, and other issues. We believe that these two recommendations can help alleviate the frustrations that Indigenous peoples feel when they're coming to this permanent forum and not allowed into the room. I respectfully make these recommendations. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment. I thank speakers for your inputs on the agenda item 9. With this, we finish our list of speakers, and I will open the speaker list under agenda item 8. So I give the floor to Mr. Camilo Ruiz from the Government of Colombia.
Gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The delegation of the Colombian government has participated constantly in the meetings of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. We would like to express our appreciation for the invitations and for the rooms provided. We have listened carefully to the different statements made by the representatives of governments organizations of indigenous peoples and United Nations organizations. And we find similarities, coincidences, and various arguments that make us think about the strategies of work. Colombia is moving forward in its special policies and programs for the indigenous peoples in our country, as we indicated in our statement on Wednesday last week. In the space that the forum kindly provided to us, Madam Chair, we were particularly struck by the statements made by the Special Rapporteur and the Chairman of the Expert Mechanisms, together with those made by some representatives of government concerning the future functioning of the Permanent Forum. Colombia respects the functioning of United Nations organizations, and for this reason we would like to suggest that some procedures be reviewed. We believe that this could streamline the discussions and make its work have a greater and decision-making more powerful. First of all, the sessions could take place in commissions or working groups simultaneously to deal with special items in order to analyze problems among groups of countries with a view to facilitating proposals for an alternative solution. Secondly, in the plenary sessions, it would be recommendable that the consensus be sought concerning the conclusions proposed in these roundtables to support the resolutions for the Economic and Social Council, thereby meeting one of the purposes of the Permanent Forum. Lastly, active and systematic dialogue with the Special Rapporteur and the Expert Mechanism, together with the other organizations of the United Nations system, could lead to documents to support the work of governments, making more important international instruments adopted for the benefit of indigenous peoples. In this connection, the work carried out by each UN agency could be presented to the forum in order for its dissemination and discussion in plenary. Madam Chairman, the sense of our proposals merely focuses on to make optimum use of time, financial resources, and the logistics of governments, organizations, and agencies to ensure that the rights of indigenous peoples throughout the world are ensured. These proposals made by Colombia seek to initiate dialogue concerning the adjustments required for all areas of democratic dialogue so that they are consistent with the changes in the international system. Madam Chair, we would reaffirm in this connection the commitment of the State of Colombia to overcome the shortcomings and drawbacks relating to dealing with and guaranteeing the rights of indigenous people in the past. It has not been an easy job because of the social and political situation and the violence that has occurred in our countries. But with a resolute political will, a permanent dialogue with the representatives of our 102 peoples, guaranteeing due legal process in different stages and respect for the cultural diversity of indigenous people, we will make greater progress, which we will share at the next session of the forum. Similarly, we would like to reiterate our openness to dialogue and cooperation with the permanent forum, and we would like it to become a partner in our work in the near future so that we can make a contribution through our efforts to the implementation of the recommendations which we have adopted at this session. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Muchas gracias y
thank you very much, and thank you for the recommendations which you have made to enhance the work of the Permanent Forum.
I give the floor to Luis Toro from the Organization of American States to make a statement.
Buenos días.
Good morning. While thanking the chair for giving us this time, I would like to express my sincere congratulations on your being selected as chair of this session. As on previous occasion, I wanted to sum up the work carried out by the Organization of American States with respect to indigenous issues and to deal with the three following points: the status of the American Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, the training activities carried out, and the work in other areas of the General Secretariat. As the majority of present people here know, the Organization of Americas is a regional organization having 35 member states. At the present time, the OAS is in the process of negotiating a draft American Declaration, Inter-American Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and a working group has been established for this purpose within the Legal and Political Committee of the Permanent Council. In the discussions and the negotiations, there are representatives of states and Indigenous Peoples. The most recent negotiating meeting took place in January this year at the headquarters in Washington, D.C., and it was chaired by a representative of the Indigenous Peoples in the days in January. There's many Indigenous people representative, and the reference document is the registry of the current status of the American Declaration, brought up to date on the 20th of January 2011. The document is composed of 42 provisions organized in six sections, and nine of these articles have been agreed by consensus, 10 adopted, and there is a preamble which has not been the subject of review. It is worthwhile to stress that the adoption by the United Nations of this declaration obliged the world to discuss the impact of the instrument, a universal instrument, with respect to a regional instrument. Politically speaking, the resolution to be adopted in San Salvador on the 7th of June repeats the mandate of the earlier year with regard to the continuation of the working group and the holding of two new negotiating meetings to find consensus. This year, there is not sufficient money for negotiating meetings, and the holding of these meetings is subject to the availability of financial resources, and this is why I would urge this forum and the donors here to provide funds so that these meetings can be held with the full and effective participation of the Indigenous peoples. Another challenge to be faced by the working group is the complexity of the provisions which should be the subject of forthcoming meetings. The second point, Madam, relates to the Program of Action on Indigenous Peoples, which we are being carried out in the General Secretariat. And this relates to activities involving training and empowerment to heighten the awareness of the society in general and to promote and strengthen the participation of Indigenous peoples in the different national and international processes. This program has made it possible to train representatives, Indigenous representatives, in designing, executing, monitoring, and evaluating projects, and the training and use of good governance in the inter-American system and the political participation of women. We, in the past years, we have provided training on the inter-American system for the promotion and protection of human rights, two good governance courses, a workshop on the political participation of women in Ecuador in 2010 and now in June in 2011 in Guatemala. Three workshops on the elaboration of projects, the preparation of projects. And the positive aspect in this training, Madam, is that the results at present are our graduates have repeated such training courses in their respective communities. Almost 17 repetitions of this training have taken place, in addition to those who have carried out projects and fundraising in five cases. This was carried out by our graduates in their communities. We have also organized activities to promote Indigenous issues for members of the permanent missions of the OAS. And on the question of the cross-cutting issues, we have begun talks with the Secretariat of the Permanent Forum to share experience on this subject and to facilitate the issuance of a document. We welcome the fact that Madam Chandra Erickson has promoted this initiative. I do not wish to omit the gratitude for the work carried out by the various bodies in the Inter-American system for the promotion and protection of human rights through the Inter-American Commission, and the rapporteurship and the Inter-American Court. I've heard that the rapporteur is here, so I won't dwell on that issue. Lastly, in preparing for the sixth summit meeting of heads of state and government to be held in Cartagena, Colombia, in April next year, I'm happy to inform you that the Secretariat of the summit has carried out consultation with the various participants, including indigenous peoples. And it's interesting to recall that three summit meetings have been held of inter-American indigenous peoples in Canada in 2001, Argentina 2006, and in the context of Trinidad and Tobago, a meeting was held in Panama. These summit meetings are an indigenous initiative, and the Summit of the Americas, at a parallel occasion, a great deal of progress was achieved. Last year's two meetings were held, one in Ottawa in Canada and another elsewhere, and in March in Colombia for the leaders of Latin America. It is the intention to continue to have a document representing the voice of the indigenous peoples in this process, both with respect to the decisions taken in the past and in particular following up on the declaration of the third summit and with respect to the initiatives provided, planned for the future. Among the conclusions of the meetings I mentioned, the one is to consolidate the work, the involvement of the indigenous peoples in the OAS, and there has been discussion of the conditions to be achieved for the fourth summit meeting. Lastly, I would like to reiterate our general invitation to the leaders of indigenous peoples of the Americas to this in the forum who are not familiar with the ORIS, that they participate in the activities and the selection of the best candidates from their communities so that all of the training we can provide is benefited from to the utmost. Thank you.
I give the floor to Teresa Gutierrez from the Lakota Nation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Haumadakyuapi. My name is Teresa Burns Perry from born and raised in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. And when I got this prepared, it was for the UNICEF, but it's so long that I decided to jump through to a particular place where I can, you know, start where it won't take so much time. So I will jump to the second page, if you don't mind. The consequences of the imposition of the unsustainable Western development model on indigenous people have been widespread and profound. My intervention will focus on one particular aspect, that is the adverse impacts of this development model on the physical and mental health of indigenous youth. American Indians in the United States and the Lakota in particular experience the worst health conditions of any people in the United States. Indigenous women and children in the United States suffer the worst rates of sexual violence of any group. 86% of the perpetrators of the violence are non-Native men. American Indians experience the worst infant mortality rate, the worst incidence of avoidable diseases like diabetes, heart disease, substance addiction, and worst of all, a youth suicide rate that is higher than any other group. Indigenous health conditions are not the result of happenstance or of the natural predisposition of Native people. As the 2009 UN study on the state of the world's indigenous people asserts, youth suicide in indigenous community takes place in the context of contemporary discrimination and marginalization and historical trauma related to colonialism, assimilation, and the loss of traditional livelihood. The suicide rate for American Indian and Alaska Native youth aged 15 to 24 is 300% higher than the national average in the U.S. These horrible conditions are the direct result of deliberate policies of the United States. Religious denominations, corporations, and private individuals that have stolen our stolen our territories, contaminated our lands, destroyed our languages and family structures, and supplanted our traditional mechanisms for governance, food production, dispute resolution, and economic self-sufficiency. Our people have been driven often by economic despair and deliberate government policies from their traditional territories into impoverished urban environments. Today, nearly 70% of American Indians in the United States live in urban areas, far from their homelands and far from opportunities to embrace simultaneously their traditional identities and their right to development and self-determinations. My relatives, you have heard time and again the record of genocide, ethnocide, and ecocide against my people. I'm not going to recount the details of those crimes here today. Instead, I'm going to tell you that these issues that are not hypothetical and they are not theoretical. They are not abstract. They are not merely statistics. They are real. They affect our lives every day. Our children are dying, being killed, and more frequently making the desperate and tragic decision to leave this world at their own hands. As do many indigenous mothers, I know the pain and sorrow of these events personally. My own son could no longer withstand the social and political and economic forces around him that would seek to squeeze the last essence of indigenous identity out of him. His territory has been stolen. The treaties with this nation has been consistently violated. Excuse me. It's very hard for me to talk about this, and I thought I would just do it academically, but sometimes the emotional part will get to you. The expectation that he would abandon his indigenous identity was made to him daily by the invader society around him. And the ultimate price for the imposition of Western development resulting in indigenous youth despair took my son. Sisters and brothers, and members of the permanent forum, I implore you not to allow the ways in which development is destroying our people, and especially our youth, to be ignored by policies and procedures, to be relegated simply to items on an agenda. Our children are dying, I mean really dying, being killed, being murdered, committing suicide, and abandoning their families, culture, identity, because Western modes of development demand it. Sisters and brothers of UNICEF should not overlook the fact that indigenous youth suffer from substantially high rates of suicide simply because of political and economic and social colonialism. This course of action means that the right to life, the right to live with hope, without the fear, without having to reject traditional values and spirituality, is territorial right to self-determination within the developed countries. Self, or if they examine a life as mere shadows of their ancestors. Towards this end, I extend the following recommendations to the 10th session of the Permanent Forum. I call on the Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights and fundamental freedoms in Indigenous people and the expert mechanism on the rights of Indigenous people to engage in a specific investigation on the condition of indigenous youth suicides and deaths at the hands of the police forces of the colonial system in the United States. Furthermore, I call on UNICEF to stop ignoring the special status of indigenous peoples within colonial boundaries of developed countries. I call on the expert mechanism on the right of indigenous people to investigate, report, and submit recommendations addressing the health disparities of indigenous peoples around the world. I call on the Permanent Forum to address recommendations, General Assembly and other specialized agencies to the United States to move states towards the implementing the recommendations of the 2009 State of the World's Indigenous Peoples Report to recognize the health crisis that face indigenous people, to take the responsibility for their role in the creation and situation of these conditions, to respect and support indigenous house systems, to improve the establishment and operation of intercultural house systems in indigenous communities, both urban and rural, especially to address the epidemic of youth suicide and violence against indigenous children. Palimila, thank you, Madakuase, for all my relations.
I thank you for your statement. And you have been the last speaker on my list, so I intend to adjourn this meeting. But before I would give the floor to the Secretariat for announcements of side events.
Good morning, everyone. There is one side event scheduled for this lunchtime between 1:15 and 2:45. It's here in Conference Room 1. It's organized by the World Bank, titled A Briefing on World Bank Initiative on Climate Change and Indigenous Peoples. And actually, I've just been informed there is a, and then this evening as well, starting at 6 p.m., there's a closing reception for the 10th session of the Permanent Forum, organized by the Permanent Mission of Australia to the UN, as well as the Secretariat of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. And this, again, is between 6 and 8:30 in the Visitors' Lobby of the UN headquarters. Thank you.
Thank you. The next meeting will be Friday morning in this conference room at 10 a.m. And we will be discussing agenda item 10, adoption of the report of the Permanent Forum on its 10th session. The members of the Permanent Forum will continue in closed session the rest of the morning and this afternoon. This meeting is adjourned.